All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet, or you can put in your Bible, able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, as we look at this, I want you to focus in on all of that. But two things. One, in verse 10, he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. And then he says down here in verse 13, delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'd like to speak a little bit tonight about the government of God and how this is key for us to be able to advance his kingdom here in this earth. The number one task that we have, other than to glorify God, is to advance his kingdom, to take it from where it is right now into the uttermost parts of the earth. And that is bringing everything that's in this earth under kingdom jurisdiction, that heaven will virtually come to earth. So we have to do that. And because many times we haven't done that and the principles of the kingdom of God haven't been preached, a lot of people are suffering. And so you and I have come as the distribution centers of God to relieve oppression, to rescue humanity. We're to finish the work that Jesus started here in this earth. So we talk about it in terms of government of God. Now, this is a new paradigm for people because I think pretty much you know what a government is. But the government of God is this new kind of government that has new laws, new principles, new values, has inside of it a new way of operating. And you have to be taught that. And over in John chapter 3, Jesus was approached by a man named Nicodemus. He came to him at night. We call it Nick at Night. And I was just kidding. And he came to him, and he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a very learned man in the scriptures. And his name came to Jesus at night, verse 2, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for what man? No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can see here that Jesus was virtually teaching on the kingdom of God. Except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. Well, what people see in this earth, that they see the manifestation of this kingdom. But the kingdom itself is invisible. The kingdom's comprised of the church. The kingdom is comprised of angels. The kingdom is also made up of the earth. Some things that are invisible. The kingdom of God. And you and I have come into that kingdom, but we get born again. And once we get born again, we get new insides. We get the same nature as God. The same thing that's got inside of God that makes him him is now in us. As a matter of fact, the fruit of the Spirit are now put inside of us, and now through maturity, they work themselves to the outside. Fruit of the Spirit such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those things are in us. They came with the package of being born again. And now through us maturing or being sanctified or separated from the world, they begin to manifest. Okay? People come around us and they feel a peace. or other people, you go in places and people are sad, and somehow you can bring joy. Oh, you follow what I'm saying? Where normal people would criticize and hate people, you'd love them. But that's supernatural disposition. That's not a natural disposition, okay? Because people in the world can't do it. It has to be done supernaturally. And so now all these things, once we get born again, we step into this new kingdom. And well, I tell you, stepping into this new kingdom is something. Because it's a different way. You got to think a different way and so forth. Normally, when you hear see a problem, you get anxious about it. Well, in the kingdom, you get anxious for nothing. You don't worry about a thing. People might see you who are not in that kingdom. They say, aren't you worried? And they're surprised you say no. As a matter of fact, they'll interpret your no is that you don't care. But you do care. That's why you're not going to worry. You're going to cast your care over on him. So in the kingdom, things are absolute. In the world, things are relevant. You know, there's relativism. You know, everything is politically correct or whatever. Not so in the kingdom. It's either this way or it's that way. Are you with me? So now as we work our way into this kingdom, one, we have to find out first that you, before you even came into your mother's womb, and Jeremiah says, God says, I knew you. So he knew you before you even got in the womb. I don't know what womb you got in, but whatever one, he knew you before you got in there. Now, I'm just saying that because some people think they're a mistake. No, he knew you before you got in there. Okay, next, he chose you, meaning that you have been chosen for something. So God does not bring anybody into this earth here without a calling, meaning that there's a call on your life to do something. Now, whether you end up in that call or you end up not in that call, that's up to a series of things that happen between you and God in this earth walk. But you're called to do something. Okay? Now, you got to do it by the Spirit of God. You can't do it out of guilt. Can't do it out of whatever. You got to do it by His Spirit. And also, you're going to be trained. So God knows that once you come into this new government, you got to be trained how to live in this government. Now, one of the central themes that Jesus taught in this government is a law of sowing and reaping. Let's go over there to Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. Now, understand, again, Jesus was the last Adam. Paul calls him that by revelation. And last Adam says that he was like the first Adam, but he's the last. The first Adam got tempted and sinned. Am I right about it? Did Jesus get tempted?
No.
Yeah, the word answer is yes. And he got tempted in all kinds of ways, tempted with everything. So that tells me anything that we can go through, he was tempted by. All right? But did he yield to temptation? Did you all sing that song in that church? Yield not to temptation. Okay, all right, but that don't answer that. But anyway, we used to sing that all the time. Yield not to temptation. He is willing to help you. Okay, all right, that's what, anyway. So that was supposed to hold you. Now, what's going to hold you is this Word of God right here. This is what's going to hold you. You're going to have to get some of this loaded in you. All right? Okay, look what it says here in verse 14. The sower soweth the Word, and these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. He taketh the Word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the Word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Notice this is all centered around the Word. And have no root in themselves, but so endure but for a time. Afterward, when the affliction and persecution arise for the Word's sake, they are offended. And these are they which are sown among what? Thorns, such as hear the Word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, do what? Choke the Word, and what happens? he becomes unfruitful. Now, these are the five ways that the enemy comes to steal the word out of a believer's life. Why doesn't he want you to keep that word in your heart? Why doesn't he want you to do that? Right, because it'll grow up and become what it says. Okay, it'll become what it says. It'll develop you, and you'll become like God the more this word you get in you. Now, each one of these areas that we're talking about here are fear-based. That's something that's very important for you to understand. They're all fear-based, okay? And then he uses one, and let's just take one, deceitfulness of riches, for example. What is deceitfulness of riches? A deceitfulness of riches, you might say, well, you know, the man had money, but it ended up that money had him. It deceived him. Well, that's one way of looking at it. But one of the deeper ways, I think, of looking at it is deceitfulness of riches is thinking that you have to earn it. See? When God has already given it to you. Deceitfulness of riches. See? And also thinking that money is your source of security. That's deceitfulness of riches. So once you come into the government of God, no longer do you have to earn a living. No longer do you have to earn a living. Now understand, we grow up and God takes you from level to level because as people grow up in this, you can't just all of a sudden say, okay, you don't have to work to earn a living. Well, then they won't go to work. I'm not going to work then. Praise God, I'm just stay here and then let the Lord feed me. Well, that's not the idea because work is key for you to tap your potential. And tapping your potential is key for you pleasing God because your potential exposed is His glory. I'll say that again. Your potential exposed is His glory. See, He's put something in you. And what's in you is hidden. It's a treasure in earthen vessels. And what God wants it is out. So that potential has to come out of you, but potential doesn't come out without a demand. So He places you in an environment that you'd have to work. Don't look at work and I'm sweating. Oh God. Now, there are some jobs and so forth that you do and perspire and so forth. I'm not talking about that. But don't look at it as I'm laboring for a living. The idea about it is you're coming into situations where, in fact, you're going to have to use something and draw on something that is beyond your own natural abilities to solve that problem or to fix the situation or to change the circumstances. And it's called work. Glory to God. So don't be surprised when God leads you into situations that you've never come in contact with. And in a normal situation are too much for you. I like to say it like this. Lead you to a situation that you can't handle or too big for you. Lead you into a piece of property that you can't afford. I'm telling you. I'm just saying. That doesn't mean go out here and buy a car that you know you can't afford and you don't have no faith to even handle it. See, you got to watch it saying these things because this is grown-up talk. Okay. And then he goes in verse 20 and says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it with and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. All right. Now, in the kingdom, you're no longer ruled by your senses. In the kingdom of God, you're no longer ruled by your senses. You are led by the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. Now, God is taking you back to where Adam was because this is the way Adam operated. Proverbs chapter 20, please. And over in Proverbs chapter 20, he says in verse 27, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So that says to me that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, meaning that your spirit, God is going to light it so it would lead you in a dark world. So God uses your spirit to guide you. Now, inside of that, he called this the knowledge of God. So when people, thank God that people can go and get an education and go and get an advanced degree or whatever have you, and I applaud that because that took some discipline, so forth and so on. But if they don't have the knowledge of God, they're only left with dark knowledge. See, they're only left with dark knowledge. So they're going to have to do things dark ways. When I say that, I mean according to a dark world. Now, I know the sun's out, we've got lights in here, but the world is dark. Well, who is that? Somebody told me that they saw in the spirit where as they were, this man wrote a book, and as he was, got, the angel was taking him into parts of heaven, showing him, he saw prayers coming up. And those prayers were like shafts of light. Just like that. It's a man. Isn't that something? So, but sense knowledge, getting all your knowledge, collecting it from the senses and having not the knowledge of God. Now, how come people don't do that? Because people feel that if they got mental knowledge, if they've been trained this way, then they got all the knowledge they need. Now, that's fine if they don't ever come up into a situation that demands more knowledge than they've got. Because that's when you go into, what are we going to do now? See? But my point to you is that the knowledge of God, it's higher than this knowledge of man down here. Even though I've got 3 PhDs or I've got this thing and I'm a rocket scientist and I'm a physician, I know this, bricklayer and so forth, it doesn't make any difference. There's a higher knowledge than that.
That's right.
And and God, the earth, the way we got there is through Adam's fall.
Right.
Amen. See, Adam, God told Adam, said, now, Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you're going to surely die. Now understand, this is a new word to Adam. Because Adam didn't believe in death. Adam only knew life. See, that's the reason why he lived so long. See, he lived when Noah came. Go back and do some study on it. I believe he did. And the reason why is because he had to talk himself into dying. He didn't use those words. See, I know it says, you know, global warming and all of that. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. That, folks, that's the root of it. That's the knowledge of God. That's the knowledge of God. That's why with the tongue, if you know how to use it, you can turn around anything in the world. Because it's all rooted in words that you speak that have power out of a spirit to change anything in the world. That's the knowledge, come on, of God. It's higher than this knowledge. The knowledge here says, somebody came down with something, they need to go in the hospital, they need to get a surgery, and they need some surgery here, and so forth. They get surgery and so forth. You come see them, look at my scar, and look, you know, so forth and so on, and all of that. But the knowledge of God says, bring them into the church. If any man was sick, let him call for the elders. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith to save the sick. Lord will raise him up, then in his sins he'll be forgiven. Well, all of a sudden, if the knowledge of God is ruling, then you just take them in, no surgery.
That's right. That's right.
No soreness, no recuperation period,
That's right.
No anxiety.
That's right.
Just a few minutes to land hands and put some oil on your head.
That's right.
That's the knowledge of God. Say the knowledge of God. Now notice what Babylon is out to do. Babylon is out to take the knowledge of God out of your life. Because they can take the knowledge of God out of your life, then in a certain way, there can be some control over your life, because you're going to have to live. Lord have mercy. Come on now. Come on with it. Hallelujah. Shanda. He knows that unless you know and can tap into another system, you're going to have to obey and live according to the system that he set up. Are you following what I'm saying? So what I've got to do with you is I got to teach you about the government of God. Because once you see the government of God, the first thing you see is that God is your source. Say amen. God is your source. Now understand, this is a process, because notice what he told Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Then Abraham leave here. So he had to leave his place. So Abraham now is leaving. But now as he's leaving, he gets to this land that God leads him to. But the land is dry. What does Abraham do? He says, well, I don't know about this. I'm going on down here. He goes on and ends up in Egypt. Where they water the ground with their foot. Irrigated with something natural. I'm saying they didn't, it wasn't the rain of heaven. Got it? It's man-made. And so what happens? He went down there, but the thing of it is, that land was the land God led him to.
That's right.
And the reason why God led him to that land is because he had the blessing. And the blessing that you have on you is made for dry, ruined, come on now, stuff that is impossible to fix any other kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen to this. And so this, because I'm not going to teach this tonight, but that blessing on you is so powerful. And I taught on my staff, the other day, I taught, what was the name of that? Rediscovering the blessing. Rediscovering the blessing. Because that blessing is on you. That blessing is on you. And that blessing will fix anything that's broke. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
So now here's Adam. Adam's got to talk himself to death, because you don't know how to die. Now death is foreign to him. So the enemy is busy feeding him words, and he feeds people words today. I'm dying to go. Dying is in every sentence almost.
Amen.
You killing me. These bills are killing me. It's in all. Why we have death in so much of our words? That's set up, right? Because death and life is where? The power of the tongue. That's the enemy trying to use you to destroy yourself.
That's right.
Okay. Now, let me just finish this. So now you're trained, and then you're sent. But now once you're trained, you got to be trained. We got to get you off that world and thinking that they are the ones that are going to meet your need, to the fact that God is going to meet your need. So Babylon, we got to get Babylon out of your life. We got to stop you from thinking like that. Babylon thinks this way. Come in on Sunday, see sister, she got a hat on. And Babylon said, now look at her, she thinks she's something. See, that's a Babylonian thought. That's a Babylonian thought. She's driving a nicer car than you. Look at her. She just said, you're what I'm saying. I'm saying all of that kind of thinking, got to get it out. Why? Because it blinds the thing you see with, your heart. See, heaven is a place. Can I say this? Can I go into this right here? Heaven is a place of phenomenal wealth. Before Adam sinned, Adam could see both in the seen and the unseen. When Jesus came, Jesus could see it. See, you've got physical senses that you can see. You can see with your eyes. Am I right about it? Well, let's go to a verse. Let's do that. I feel we need to stop and camp around that, about that a little bit. Now, I'm teaching you on the government of God because the government is going to support you. Oh, Lord, come on, come on. The government is going to take care of you.
Amen. Amen.
Got it? The government is going to back you. The government is going to send you. The government is going to protect you. Look at the place. Go to Matthew chapter 26. And I ask you also to go where somewhere. Did I ask you somewhere else? What? Where? I did Proverbs. I was just going to show you something else. I was talking about something and I said I was going to go there. Mark chapter 10. That's where I was going to take you. All right, look at this now. All right, I got a few more minutes. Got 8 more minutes. So just stay with me. I said, just stay with me.
Amen.
You discipline yourself now. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Give me a thumbs up. All right. Okay. All right. All right. I said, look at Matthew chapter what? 26. All right. Matthew chapter 26. Here's what it said in verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again your sword into its place. For all they that take up the sword shall perish of the sword. Now, these are people who are taking up the sword maliciously, a murderer or something like that. It's not talking about military people. Verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father? Watch this. And he shall presently give me more than, come on, 12 legions of angels. All right. Let's say a legion is 6,000. 6,000. 6,000 men, soldiers, whatever have you. A legion of soldiers. That's in the Roman army. If I get you 12 legions of angels, how many did I just get? How many? 72,000 angels. Jesus didn't have any problem with letting you know that. He said over in John chapter 17, he said, Father, show them that you love them just like you love me. If that be the case, and he had access to 72,000, so do you. Because the angels are a part of the kingdom of and government of God. Angels are a part of it. So you have angels right now. Over in Psalm chapter 37, put it up on the board, please. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7. He says this. He says, and the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that what? Fear him. And what do they do? They deliver. Did that thing say, did that writing say, they may deliver him.
No.
They just might. It delivered. Didn't they say that?
No.
How about Daniel? Here was Daniel praying, right? And the angel finally came and brought him a message, Angel Gabriel. And Gabriel said, I would have been here sooner.
That's right.
However, I was trying to come through the second heaven and a war broke out between me and demons. And I had to call for who?
Michael.
See, I had to call for Michael because there's a promise out there. The promise says that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and they deliver him. Say, if God ever doesn't keep his promise, he's not God anymore. You got what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? So the last thing you want to do is get into a situation and lose your courage. Get into a situation and become fearful. Because when you become fearful, then faith has left. Once faith has left, all, what, where, anything that is not faith is what? Sin. So sin is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness means that you don't fear the Lord anymore. And don't fear the Lord anymore means you don't get no angelic protection. So what you got to do in the face of all circumstances is be just as bold as a six shooter, as they used to say in the South. You got to be just as bold as you can be. Why? Because the bolder you are, the faster they move on your behalf. You know that they're there. Say amen to that. So when God is training you to send you, he knows he's sending you out as a lamb among wolves. He knows that you're a sheep among wolves, and the wolves devour sheep. But if they can't touch you, they can't devour you. I don't care who you are, a woman, a man, it doesn't make any difference. They can't molest you. They can't touch you. Come on. They can't abuse you. They can't do anything. Now, this is not something that was written during Winston's time. This was something that was written back in the time of any time. Slavery, back in the time of Jesus. This was the same scripture. It would have worked for anybody who would understand and work this promise. But the government of God wasn't taught. Are you following what I'm saying? Because we got to now get in here and teach the knowledge of God so that you don't have to be fearful that not enough policemen are around you, but you can walk in a confidence that nothing can touch you, nothing can hurt you. Come on now. Put up there Luke chapter 10, please. And Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 19. We're just verifying all of this. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And come on. And nothing shall hurt you. Put up Psalm 91, please. Now, nothing can hurt you. What's left after nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm just saying, the government of God now, and when you're in the world and don't have all of this, then you need all this and armor bound on, so forth and so on, and all of this. But I'm telling you, what has not been taught is the government of God, and even in the churches. So we got to come back to teach that, because God may call you into some places that those places in there, hey, so forth and so on. I remember the little boy asked me, here I was down in Tulsa. We used to pack up our trunk of car, and my wife kissed me goodbye, and we got to go into the hood there to preach the gospel, and they've been shooting in there, you know. And the little boy asked me, he said, excuse me, who's with you? I said, angels are with me. Oh, okay. And he went on back. Now, he probably bought it because he's a little boy, you know, a little childlike faith. But my point to you is I was aware and confident and conscious of not being alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you. Come on. Or forsake you. Come on, put Psalm 91 up there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Come on, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, on his wings I trust. His truth shall be my what? Shield. So in every situation, tell the truth. You don't need to tell it. Come on now. Keep going. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You in the bed, sleep at night. People hear a noise at night. Wake up. What's that? Hey, you don't need to go through all of that. You just sleep and say, angels, take care of that, whatever that is. All right, keep going. Nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Keep going. Only with my eyes shall I behold to see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. No evil shall befall me, neither any plague come nigh my... Why? Because he has given his angels charge over me. So now, I had another scripture for you. What did I say? What? Mark 10. Mark 10 is two people. One person is a rich young ruler. Jesus asked him, "You'll sell what you have, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me." Another was blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was blind, but he called on Jesus because he spiritually could see. And I'm out of time. Thank you very much for your time. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise. All right. If you are here, God is speaking to your heart about being born again. We want to get you into the government of God. We want to get you into the kingdom of God. Listen, it's the best place you can be today. So if you're here, you know in your life you've not been right with God. God has spoken to you during this time. Feel free to understand that you come in the same place I came years ago. Why I had been religious, been in churches. The church was never in me. God spoke to my heart during the service. I knew then something was missing. And somebody came by my place, took me to a meeting way up on the north side of Chicago, and man, I got born again. Once I did, looked like the weight of the world was lifted up off my shoulder. I got supernaturally healed of a disease or a sickness.